Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. We're going to explore a topic and talk with an expert about how to find and how to hire great employees. And since the pandemic, I have heard many, many dental offices, medical offices, and people involved in the medical dental fields about they just can't find good people, or they can't find people at all. And these offices, unfortunately, have resorted to settling and just putting a body in a position. And that is an absolute recipe for failure. And so today I have as a guest, Allison Norris. She is the founder and CEO of the Dentel Group. And they specialize in non-clinical dental recruiter. And so Allison, welcome to the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So I'd like for you to share with the audience what you would like for them to know about you and your company.
Sure. So I am a dental hygienist by profession. I had a wonderful clinical career from 2007 until 2018. And about 2 years in, I was approached by my sales rep for a pharma, and they were wanting to launch the Arrestin Rx Access program. And so what I did was I helped them spearhead the launch of the Arrestin Rx Access program. And in turn, I got to meet the periodontist and the general dentist in the Southeast and then help implement those programs. Anyway, so that kind of started my consulting career. I left, you know, my clinical career because I was tired of not being appreciated, and I started working for a company called eAssist, which is this dental billing solutions company, and I helped build their consulting division over there. Left there and started working in an orthodontic, an orthodontic tech startup company. I was sold on some things that weren't accurate, and so I ended up resigning. And went through about 3 months of depression. And then I woke up one day and I said, I don't want to feel this way anymore. And I said, I'm going to launch a recruiting agency, and it's going to be a non-clinical one. So we've had a lot of success with that. We recently did start, just because of the clinician crisis and hiring crisis, we are helping with clinicians some now. But yeah, so we hire the best, and we hire for personality alignment as well, which is extremely important. So long drawn out version there for you.
that's A-okay. I want the audience to have a clear picture of who you are and what you do and what you offer. But also, I think it's important that they understand your background there, that you're a registered dental hygienist. You said something there, Allison, that I think was really important. And I don't know, you said, I quit my job because I got tired of not being appreciated. I know that that is a prevalent feeling. What is it about the dentist or the dental environment where staff continually share, I was not appreciated? What's going on?
For me personally, it was just, there was zero respect. I mean, there were people that would come in and do things inappropriately or say things inappropriately, and the doctor that I worked with would just laugh it off. You know, looking back now, I would laugh it off with him. Now, you know, since I'm out of clinical dentistry and I'm looking back on it, I'm like, that was so inappropriate. Like, what in the world? But, you know, for hygienists, you know, in particular, you know, hygienists here recently are kind of, I'll be honest with you, a little bit over the top about some things, but there is a there is a portion of the population of dentists that just really truly just think that hygienists are there to, you know, prophy teeth, you know, rubber cup polish and some teeth and then go. And they're oftentimes, you know, put on every 30 minutes and that's exhausting. And the hygienist, they're not feeling valued and appreciated. But let me tell you this, and you're going to be shocked at what I say. I think that the hygienist, a lot of them aren't feeling valued and appreciated, but at the end of the day, they're not valuing themselves. I think that that has a lot to do with it too. You have to remember your value. But I mean, the hours, the not being able to, you know, take off work if you're sick, feeling like you have to come in with a running nose and, you know, wearing your mask and, you know, like those kind of things. But luckily, I think that things are going to get better. I hope they do.
You again said something interesting there, that at the end of the day, the dental hygienists don't value themselves either. Where does that come from? And I know that that definitely affects their performance. Mm-hmm. It affects their mindset of the next morning when they wake up. They have to be thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to go through this again today, but I must. Mm-hmm. Because it's the job that I have. And it's the only job that I found recently. Mm-hmm. So they feel obligated to go in, even though their mindset is not established to where they can perform to their internal greatness. Mm-hmm. What about it, other than the dentist continually not showing appreciation to the hygienist, what else comes into play with that, Allison? Because I think that what you're going to share about the hygienist can very well be with the other clinical staff also. But, you know, you being a registered dental hygienist and experiencing this, share with me the origin of that and the depth and how it affected maybe you and other people.
I mean, honestly, like you said, it's not just the hygienist. I agree with you there. It's even the dentist. Sometimes they're not valuing themselves. I think as the dental industry as a whole, we've always kind of been behind the times, you know, in comparison to healthcare. I mean, there was a movie, it was a comedy, and the guy on there was a dentist, and somebody said, or he introduced himself as, you know, Dr. So-and-so. And they were like, you're not a doctor, you're a dentist. But it's like, you know, that's kind of how dentistry's always been. And so when you, especially now post COVID, patients are just terrible. You know, patients, preventative care, going to the dentist, that's a choice.
You know, during the day, as a dentist, one of the things, I was always aware of my environment. I was always aware of emotions and moods, not just with my staff, but with my patients. And patients come into the office and they're apprehensive. And if they're coming in to see me, obviously the heightened apprehension level is there. It creates this situation to where we have to, if we're really going to do it right, we have to meet that apprehension and that patient head on, mm-hmm. in a very inviting relational aspect. And I found in doing that, Allison, within seconds, you could see the barrier with the patient just disappear. And we were able to, I'm going to say, get in a flow together. And I think that that's, you know, the thing that with the doctor, the dentist, that if they make themselves more vulnerable to their environment, to their staff, to their and to the patients, mm-hmm. that there's a connectedness there that has depth to it and meaning and gives fulfillment to where the patients trust us. Mm-hmm. And it's not such an anxious situation, and it's more fulfilling to be with those people. And your day is a richer, as far as emotional, mm-hmm. day for you. But I don't think that happens very much. Do you?
Mm-mm. I really don't. I mean, it seems like the dental industry as a whole right now is just kind of depressing, isn't it?
It is. And that's what interested me in visiting with you, Allison, was to maybe break down some of the barriers, break down some of the mystique, the frustration about employees and finding employees. Again, a common theme that I hear is there just isn't anybody out there that's any good. And if the people that are applying, they're not even average or mediocre. They're less than. Mm-hmm. And a part of me when I hear that is I want to grab them by the shoulders and say, wait a minute. Could part of the problem be you? Could part of the problem be the fact that you don't have your expectations, you don't have your standards high enough, and if you do have them high, then you're not living them mm-hmm. and who you're looking for. And a lot of times they just settle, Allison, and just put anybody in that position that they can find and then hope.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best with minimal training and input. So yeah. These people are lost. This is your expertise. Where do we find these people? Where do we find good folks?
Well, you have to look for the ones that aren't looking.
Explain that to me.
Sure. So candidates that are looking online or applying on these job boards or, you know, applied on Indeed, there's typically a reason why they're active, why they're looking. So, you know, it's best to look for passive candidates. And that's truly where I do all of my hiring is with passive candidates. And what I mean by that is these are candidates that may in fact be, you know, employed elsewhere, but they're just not happy where they are, you know? And so when we're presenting an opportunity to them, you know, we're presenting an opportunity that sounds better to them, an opportunity that, you know, may make them happier. And of course, one that provides a better value proposition than their current one. So I don't like to, I've had messages before that, you know, from angry companies saying that, you know, poaching employees, and that's not the case at all. I mean, it's really not. I mean, we're just providing an opportunity. And if you're keeping your employee happy, then they won't want to leave, you know, bottom line. So
you're right. When I was young in my career and people would leave me, I would obviously look at them and blame them for the reason as to why they were leaving. And then at some point I had to get real about it and say, okay, John, what is it about you or your office or your leadership that is not enough to where you're meeting the needs of this employee mm-hmm. to where they want to stay with you?
Right.
And so, you know, I had to look at my management. I had to look at my leadership skills. I had to look at my people skills, my interpersonal skills and go, okay, this very well could be you. And what are you willing to do about it on your end to create an environment? And as you said, a value proposition mm-hmm. to where this employee absolutely wants to stay, wakes up in the morning, looking forward to going to work and is a strong advocate for the philosophy and for what we're doing within my office. So a real serious look in the mirror time. And I had to come to a realization about what John was about and what he wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely tough whenever you have, you know, I have clients that reach out and, you know, if number one, if they're rude to me over the phone, they're going to be rude to their team. Right. So that's I'm not going to work with you. Or if they're just unhappy or, you know, but that's the value proposition doesn't have to be monetary. That value proposition may be, you know, that you have a culture that of leaders and team members that have been there for years and years and years, very low turnover. I mean, that is, you know, amazing. You know, knowing that you're going to go into a practice where the team has stayed together for so long, there's a reason that they've stayed there, you know, that could be a value proposition.
Right.
A value proposition could be the, you know, it could be financial, you know, you have to,
sure.
You know, it could be bonuses. It could be whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So. You know, employees like to be appreciated. Mm-hmm. They like to be rewarded. if the dentist will put a little creativity behind the way he or she gives to the staff and shows appreciation, that goes a long ways with people.
Absolutely.
Through your work, Allison, share with me what you've learned are the top, let's say, two or three things that the employee, the non-clinical employee, what are they looking for?
They're looking for stability. They're looking for someone that, for a boss that appreciates them, for a boss that listens to them and values their opinion. No one wants to work with someone that's going to, you know, be a dictator and never let anyone else have their perspective on things, or, you know, like,
right.
What are they looking for? They're looking for, you know, a organization that, for, you know, from a clinician point of view, they're looking for, they don't want to feel like they are selling treatment, you know? Now, granted, oftentimes you do have to sell treatment. I don't care what anybody says, you know, it is a little bit of selling it, but meeting those goals, meeting production goals and quotas and things like that. If you are treating your patients comprehensively like you should, then, you know, your profit's just going to fall into place, in my opinion. So there's no need to oversell, you know, why make an extra $20 on a toothbrush, you know, like those kind of things. They run from those practices. So
I find it interesting with the three components here, not one of them was involved with financial.
Yeah, right.
And I think when they're out for a job interview and they sense the possibility, or their perception is that there's stability within the office, that's a nice check mark. When they sense that there is going to be a level of appreciation for who they are, that becomes a really strong, compelling one, I think, the appreciation factor. And then staff does not like to be, I understand that, in a position where they feel like they're having to flex muscle to get patients to say yes.
Yeah.
You put those three elements there together with that, and you've established a culture within your practice that people want to be a part of. And I always felt in my practice that if I helped establish, but I let the staff develop their culture based upon their interpretation of what I needed and wanted and expected. And when they develop their own culture with subtle influence and nudge with me, but I'm not hovering over the concept, they own their culture and far more appreciative of what's going on and what the office is about. Mm-hmm. Now let's flip it. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the doctor, or let's go to the combination of the leadership package of the office. What are they looking for these days, Allison, in employees? Let's give the top two or three that you see.
What are the employers looking for in the employees?
Correct.
A warm body. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I think you're right. I know you're right.
That's terrible to say.
No, I know it. You have to say what is right, even though when you say it, it's a terrible feeling. But Allison, that's exactly what I hear.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just looking for a warm body, and I'm going, no, yeah, no.
I know.
Okay, go ahead. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. So when they, you know, most clients, when they come to me, they're like, we just need somebody. We don't care. And so that's the problem, though. You know, if you just don't care, you just want somebody in there just so that you can continue producing.
Yep.
And it's not going to be a successful journey, you know? I mean,
no.
So I guess I can kind of turn it and say that what they should be looking for,
you know,
what the employers should be looking for is, you know, stability from a candidate's side. So if you look on a resume and you see that candidate's bounced around 1 year to 1 year, you know, like, then there's an issue, unless, of course, they're like military and they're moving, you know, but if they're bouncing around from one office to one office in the same city, there's a problem. You know, they want to look at, you know, if they're trustworthy. I think that, and if they seem to have integrity, you know, I think that that's huge when you're building your team. You know, you want to look for someone that really ultimately at the end of the day shares the same values that you do. Even if, you know, I mean, I hear it often where the dentist is very, very excited about the newest thing that the newest course they've been taking, whether that's, you know, myofunctional therapy or, you know, occlusion or heck, even updating their periodontal protocol, you know, like if you don't have a team behind you that shares the values, then it's just going to be you as a lone wolf. You're not going to be able to ever implement change in your practice if you don't have a team that shares your values.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. All of these things are from the intangible side of the board. Mm-hmm. And I can assure you, Allison, that the people that are doing the interviews, a lot of times, I don't think the doctor does the interview. A lot of the interviewing is done by staff that really are not trained or capable mm-hmm. of doing an interview. They go in and basically are looking at having just a little chat session. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that those are the things that they need to be looking for, but they're really not prepared to have a dialogue and have a conversation that reveals the ability to be to find someone that's trustworthy, someone that has values and what values those are, and mm-hmm. to discover whether or not those values correlate with you. But that is so important to do that. Again, I'm going to keep going back and asking the root question is, how do we find these capable potential applicants, Allison?
Besides using the Dentel Group?
Yes. And I hate to ask that question like that because my purpose here is, again, I want people to elevate their expectations.
Right, of course.
You know, if you're going to soar like an eagle, you are the average of the five people that you spend most of your time with. Mm-hmm. And so in my practice, I wanted eagles. I wanted chiefs. I wanted people that walked in and had a pace to them. They had a posture to them that said, I believe in myself.
People that were smarter than you.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And that didn't intimidate me.
Yeah, me too.
I want those type of people because I don't have all the answers. And the only way that I'm going to get better is to have people around me that push me.
Right.
And help me move forward. So it's finding those people. First of all, I want them to go to you because this is your expertise. But let's say there's, you know, thousands of offices out there that will unfortunately not
right.
know about you.
Right.
How do we proceed?
Yeah. So first of all, I think that as an employer, one of your biggest things, one of your biggest, most important aspects of finding a great team is going to start with your reputation. You know, how is your online reputation? Let's start there. It's very broad. You know, what does it look like from an outsider? You know, if you go on Glassdoor and, you know, employees are, you know, leaving reviews, if you have poor reviews, then it's going to be very hard to get anybody to come on board with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that networking is wonderful for finding great team members, whether that is, you know, in person or, you know, online. Now, employers will not be able to find a lot of dental professionals on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, correct. Like, there's just not many of us on there. The majority of us are on Facebook or in groups. That's a great way to find candidates.
What was that last one?
Facebook or in the Facebook groups.
Okay.
That's a great way of finding employees. The problem is that if you're the doctor and you're on there trying to find your employee, it makes it a lot more intimidating for these, you know, team members. So you could find, you know, a team member that you really trust that is super nice and doesn't like get an attitude, that kind of thing, to reach out to those, you know, people in those Facebook groups. Or whenever you're trying to hire someone, do not use a generic job description. Do not copy and paste a job description that you see. What you want to do is, everyone knows, number one, everyone knows what a hygienist does. So leave out all those responsibilities. Leave out the SRPs that they're, you know, the pro fees. You know, don't put that on your job description. Same thing for the assistants, unless it's, of course, you know, something surgical related or specialty. What you want to show in your job description when you're posting on Indeed or whatever, you want to give that employee a glimpse into what it would be like if they were coming to work for you. Do you have a dynamic team that feels like family? Put it on there. Do you have a state-of-the-art practice with all the bells and whistles, AI and the CBCT or whatever the things are? Do you have that? Put that in the job description. Those are things that are going to really stand out to future employees. Nobody cares like about the, you know, the other stuff. Like, it's just kind of like, we know already, you know, like,
yeah.
So just kind of like, you know, if you were going to write a dating profile, you'd make your, you would make people think that you were the best thing since sliced bread. So, you know, and brag all about yourself. So brag about yourself on the job description too, or your job posting as well. So
I think that's interesting. You mentioned write that as if you are writing a dating profile, but that's really what you're doing.
Yeah.
You need to provide the information out there as such that will tickle the curiosity of the high powered people that you're looking for. You're going to reach, some people are going to come in and apply knowing that this is a little bit above their skill level or whatever. But one of the things I looked at, Allison, and you know, you mentioned this early on, is personality, the emotional profile being very important. And two of my best employees ever, ever, I practiced for 42 and a half years. My two top employees had absolutely no background in dentistry. One was a patient of mine, just a very kind, polite, kind of a quiet individual. And I just really appreciated her mannerism. She was a mom. She was a wife. She was in her late 30s, early 40s when I hired her. And I just asked her one day, you know, if she'd be interested in coming to work in the dental office. And it really surprised her. She came in for a hygiene appointment. And long story short, I taught her how to be my lab tech. And she did all of my impressions, pouring up models. I taught her how to mount the models on articulators. Mm-hmm. And without question, I never, ever hesitated to appreciate the quality of Brenda's work. I mean, it was spot on. And she understood the importance. You know, people look at it going, oh, gosh, taking impressions, that's not big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, in my practice, which was a lifestyle dental practice where I did a lot of cosmetic work.
You have to get a perfect impression.
Yes. You have to have a perfect alginate impression. Mm-hmm. You have to mix the perfect plaster mixture to give me a great model. Absolutely. So I could then mock up my case and know that the case is going to work.
Yep.
Brenda was exceptional. My second one was a young lady that worked in a bank. And her mother was a patient and said, hey, I understand that you're looking for an employee. I go, yeah. She says, you should interview my daughter. And she described her daughter to me. And I'm going, I don't know. But I interviewed this young lady. And within 2 minutes, I thought, I have to hire her.
Oh.
Her attitude, her enthusiasm, her energy, Her body language just said to me, welcome. I belong here in this office. I'm going to be a great addition. And so I went with it. And both those employees turned out to be the absolute best employees I have ever had.
Yeah.
So sometimes you find people just by accident. But I like what you said, you know, Facebook group and Indeed. And then write your profile as if you're putting out a dating profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make it, you know, if you're posting a job, don't just say, I am hiring a such and such. Make it exciting. You know, are you looking for a practice that will provide growth and opportunity? I mean, you know, like, I always start it with a question, you know, because if you start it with a question, it makes that employee or that candidate say, am I, you know, and it makes them think,
right,
get
right.
involved in it rather than just saying, I am hiring. So it's a psychological thing.
I like that. I'm making a note. I always looked at the quality of questions that came back to me from the employee, and I pretty much interviewed all of my people because I knew what I was looking for. And I wanted, here's the main reason I did that, Allison, because if the employee didn't work out, I didn't want anybody to have a blame other than myself.
Right.
I tried to protect my other staff from the unwanted negativity from hiring the wrong individual, making the wrong decision. So it was a little bit labor intensive on my part, but I was more apt to be assured that I was getting someone that I wanted mm-hmm. and getting them involved up front. I asked simple questions, open-ended questions that necessitated them thinking mm-hmm. and kind of digging a little bit deep into themselves. And I was then able to evaluate the depth of their questions, which gave me a real good barometer as to the depth of that individual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, I recommend, you know, for anybody that's for anyone that's interviewing, use one of the apps that they have these days. There's one, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but there is an app that records the conversation and transcribes the conversation.
Right.
When you are in that conversation, you're in that interview with that candidate, you want to give them your full undivided attention. And if you're having to sit there and take notes, you're not. So, you know, use one of those apps where you can record the conversation. Whenever you are interviewing, I would get a list of questions, like you were saying, except make sure that those answers to their questions can be measured. So, you know, say if they seem very, very confident in this question, they get 5 points. If they seem semi-confident, they get 2. If they, you know, if they don't know anything that you're asking them, then a 0, you know, make
yeah.
it so that you have that scale. And that also helps reduce the amount of bias that happens in the hiring process. If
yes.
you can have that ranking there, that's super helpful for me.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. I think one of the apps, I don't think I know, I use Otter, O-T-E-R, uh-huh.
yeah.
and that transcribes, and that would be a great app for people to download and use.
Because yeah.
I'm like you, I'm not going to remember everything. So it's a great mental prop for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Nauta. It's called Nauta, Notta. That's the one that I've been using here recently.
Okay. Very good. That gives people a couple of options. I'll look at Nauta.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm always looking up fun little things on the internet and whatever
yeah,
to
you.
That's going to help me with my podcasting. If someone hears this podcast and they go, I've got to get a hold of Allison, mm-hmm. what does the onboarding process look like for you, Allison, and what are you looking for in a client?
So, number one, whenever I work with clients, I want to partner with them. I want them to give me all their money. No, I'm just kidding. I want to partner with them What I mean with that is I want to align with them and become as much like a part of their team as possible. Because when I'm presenting a position to a candidate and a practice or a company to a candidate, I have to sell that position, right? And so I want to be as much a part of their team as the rest of their team, you know? So we have an initial onboarding call. We go ahead and pre-set up, you know, meetings. I'm talking to my clients almost every day. If it's not by text, it's by phone call, you know? And I always charge an engagement fee. And that engagement fee is pretty much just stating that you're trusting in us to let us find your person, let us trust in you. So it's, you know, the clients are putting a little bit of skin in the game. You know, I'm looking for clients that are going to appreciate the effort and time and energy and everything that we put into our searches, because if you don't see the value in the service that we're providing, then you don't see the value in my company and myself. And at the end of the day, you're going to end up being bitter when you have to pay me. And I don't want you to be bitter. You know, what I do is if you think about it this way, you are going to post a job on Indeed. Okay. You may very well get candidates. I promise you that about 70% of those, or 70% may be unqualified. 50% of those are going to end up no showing for the interview. And then you may have, 5% that, gets down to that last 5% and they have zero personality. And at the end of the day, you're left with $1,000 bill from Indeed and a subpar employee that leaves you in 6 months. Yeah. So, what we do, we streamline that and we make it, we do a vetting process. We will do phone screening, of course, interview, video interview. We record that video interview. We send that to our clients. We do a personality assessment. And so all that information is entered into a private portal, and all our clients have to do is just decide whether they want to interview them or not. And if they do, they just press a button. It's that simple. Okay. So it's pretty simple, pretty easy. We try to streamline it and take that weight off shoulders. So,
yeah. I think it was interesting. You mentioned something here that in the process of working and partnering with the practices, mm-hmm. that one of your qualifications is that you get a sense that the doctor is going to appreciate you and your business and the effort that you're putting forward. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a theme, yeah. Appreciation.
Absolutely.
And all too often, we just don't do much of that, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. We really don't.
We don't let people know that we value them and we have a flow, we have a connection. But by showing those things, Allison, it's the foundation for establishing and enriching the culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really do believe that people will stay in a practice where they feel like they're appreciated. Mm-hmm. And when you show appreciation, there's a whole lot more behind that act of appreciation. It's great leadership. It's great personal values. It's the ability to really relate and communicate and connect with people.
Yeah.
And so when people say that to me that they are having a difficult time finding good folks, I want to step behind the curtains and really find out what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't take too long before the warts start showing up.
Yeah.
And the real issue. And people that come to you and have a great understanding about who they are, what they're looking for, you've got their culture intact. Although we know that, the culture is one thing that floats a little bit. Sometimes it's better than another within the same office, but at least there's a culture there that is recognized as something that has substance to it.
Absolutely.
Share with me and the audience one or two big factors about your business and why we want them to make connection with you.
Sure. So, you know, there's plenty of these talent agencies out there and recruiting agencies out there. The majority of them have a horrible, they give recruiting a bad reputation. I mean, I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've heard of agencies that will guarantee a candidate, you know, for 3 months, and it's just a cycle where they have that candidate leave, and then they replace that candidate with one that's, you know, and it's like a revolving door and or like a assembly line.
Yeah.
And that's just horrible to me. I was given this opportunity. I wasn't given it, but I allowed myself to do this. And remember, I'm just a hygienist. I say quote unquote, just a hygienist, but I'm just a hygienist. But I had the opportunity to make something and build something. And so whatever I build, I'm going to make it great. And I'm going to do it with honesty and integrity, because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that's mine, you know?
Correct.
So, I mean, and I'm a dental professional too. So, well, I was. And I know dentistry, and I know what it takes to build a strong team. So that's that.
I appreciate what you were saying by I'm just a dental hygienist. Mm-hmm. And I understand where you're going with that comment. But in the same token, I really have great value for good people, good employees, dental hygienists. Mm-hmm. I think are an extremely important, exceptional position within the practice. But in the same token, I looked at my dental assistants, and I called up my dental assistant program within the practice, mm-hmm. so that they felt importance also. Yeah. We had the hygiene department. We had the dental assistant department program. We had the front desk program. So everybody felt that they were equally significant, yeah. because they were.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying is, again, finding employees that will come into a practice, come into an office, and realize the importance that they have in carrying forth the mission and the philosophy of that practice.
Yeah.
Touching the lives of the patients that come in to see us, and knowing that at the end of the day, you get to the end of that day and you go, wow, look at what I did today.
Yeah. Gotta be proud.
Be proud. Absolutely. I love that. Be proud and feel like you have had that level of fulfillment that you just probably weren't going to realize in any other office.
Yeah.
And so, gosh, I enjoy our conversation here today, Allison. We're going to get this up, and I look forward to the downloads and people listening to it. I will post at the end of our show notes how people can make a connection with you, Allison, and I hope that happens for you. I'm confident that you can provide a great service for the people once they get a hold of you and they understand what you're about. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is not just an employment agency. It's far more than that. You've had your feet wet in the industry. You know what practices are looking for because you were one. You were an employee yourself.
Yeah.
And that has great value for people that are looking to hire. Yeah. That gives them a higher level of confidence as to the outcome.
Yes, absolutely.
So I appreciate you spending time with me today, Allison.
Of course.
That brings to a conclusion today's episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and we look forward to visiting with you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.